And joining us right now in Hometown Morning, a man who's in the town that never sleeps, and he hasn't slept either, because he's Jamie Beckler. CoachBeckler.com is the website, B-E-C-H-L-E-R, at Coach Beckler. And, Coach, you watched all of the games yesterday.
Absolutely. I was at the I'm in Las Vegas, and I was at the world's largest sports book, where they have just massive screens, and I was there with thousands of other people watching every game, pretty much, just enjoying March Madness, basketball, college basketball.
You know, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about dealing with catastrophes. Now, when we talked a little bit about the slow-filling air pump with the tires and how you had to be thankful, I'm thinking right now of Jim McKay. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and you know exactly which game I'm thinking about, is Northwestern. First tournament appearance, first tournament win, but Vanderbilt has to just be crushed because of what happened. And for those who weren't watching the game, they thought they were down by one. One of their players did, and he was told to get on somebody, and he fouled him, but they were tied with 15 seconds left, and that gave them the winning free throws. Now, if I'm that guy, I mean, I still remember 54 years ago throwing away the last game at age 8 at shortstop. In exactly what two plays finished off our winless season when we were winning, and I personally blew it. So I know that it sticks with you, because I can still see those two plays, one with a late throw to second from short, and the next one where I threw it away, and we went from winning 3-2 to losing 4-3, and went 0-15. Now, if remember that, here is a man, and a young man, on a national stage with the team that everybody's rooting for, and he blew it. When that happens in those kinds of situations, there aren't many Watsons. You remember the story from Watson and IBM? Somebody back in the 40s or early 50s made, and you can imagine what that would be worth in today's dollars, a $300 million mistake with an IBM project. And they asked Watson when he was going to fire him. He said, "Fire him? Do you know how many years he's going to have to work to make that up?" Those are the extremes. Talk to us about it, because you've been there.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when we're watching the game today, or I guess it was last night, when we're watching the games, you know, you have a kid, and we forget, you know, we forget that they still are teenagers, most of them, or 20 or 21 years old. And but as we're in a big crowd watching it, there are very few people watching the game that have anything nice to say about the kid. You know, it's all, you know, how can you be so stupid? How can you do this? You know, you're getting paid, you're on scholarship, and you know, the logic of it, and I know this isn't exactly what you're asking, but the logic doesn't make sense either from our standpoint when we're watching them, because how many of us get paid for our job, but we make mistakes? We just may not make mistakes on that massive of a level in terms of national TV audience, but we're all professionals at what we do, whether it's as a mechanic, whether it's as a custodian, a teacher, you know, whatever it is, and we make mistakes. And so why is it any different for, you know, a kid in the pressure with thousands and thousands of people watching in a stadium? You know, so I think sometimes we have too high of expectations on the people that we see, especially college athletes. Pro athletes are a little bit different, but we still have those expectations. But as a coach, you know, you have to always stay in the moment as a coach, as a leader. You have to stay in the moment. You have to keep your head, keep your wits about you. And even though things are going crazy at that point, you know, the coach has to – and if you noticed, Bryce Drew, the coach – you know, immediately when that happened, he started clapping his hands, yelling at the other guys, "Hey, come on, let's go, we got this." You know, and even if he doesn't believe it, that's what he's got to do, because a leader really is just a dealer in hope. And when things are going bad, when the bottom just fell out like it did last night for the Vanderbilt team, and in particularly that kid, I don't even know his name, but number 5, you know, you just as the leader have to try to pick everybody up, because the reality of that situation is they still had a few seconds left. They could still run a play and try to salvage their season or that game.
But what happens, Coach, you know, whether it's an official, I'm remembering, I think it was Denkinger in 85 with the World Series mess up, or when Galarraga had a perfect game and the umpire blew the call before replay, and a pitcher who was a journeyman at best loses the chance of the perfect game because an umpire blows a call. You know, some of these things, you can't get them back. And when you can't get them back, you know, it becomes something that is etched in history. It seems to be worse in sports than anywhere else. You know, people won't remember the people who messed up with New Coke so many years ago with what was supposed to be the greatest thing, and it was a marketing disaster. When you talk about a leader being somebody who deals in hope, people know when you're being genuine, and they know when you're trying to pump it up. You know, you're down by 40, yeah, and we could still win this game. Right, Coach?
Yeah,
call 1-800-GET-REAL.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, as a leader, your job is to move your group, move your individuals, move your team forward, progress, however that is. And so Coach Krzyzewski at Duke always talks about next play. You know, whatever you just did, you know, you can't do anything about that right at this minute. All you can do is the next best thing, the next play, and move on. And you know, we make mistakes, whether it's in life, whether it's our marriage, our family, our job, whatever it is, we make mistakes ourselves, and we can't dwell on the past. And essentially, with the past, you've got three things you can do with the past. You can dwell on the past, you can live in the past, or you can learn from the past. And we have to, you know, try to, especially when we screw up, we have to learn from that and move on and make the best of a bad situation. And sometimes that's tough to do. We sometimes have a tough time forgiving us. Sometimes people have a tough time forgiving us. You know, if it's the case of Bill Buckner with the Boston Red Sox, or, you know, Don Dinkinger, the umpire in the 85 World Series, or Chris Webber when he called a timeout, you know, for the Fab Five in the national title game years ago. So sometimes the spectators, the public, have a hard time moving on as well. But, you know, good leaders, people that are mentally tough, they have to move on, because they are going to have some downs to go with their ups in life.
Well, let's talk about the difference. You talked about living in or dwelling in the past. What's the difference?
Yeah, dwelling. Yeah. Yeah. You know, dwelling in the past is not being able to forgive yourself, pretty much having low self-esteem, not being able to get over what happened, whether it was something that someone did to you or something that you did that was a screw-up. You're dwelling on the past from a negative standpoint, and so you can't move forward. You can never really, you know, maybe you can't look people in the eye because you're embarrassed about something that happened in the past, so you're still dwelling on that. Living in the past is kind of, Bruce Springsteen used to have a song called Glory Days, and living in the past is essentially saying that was the best time, and you keep bringing up the past, that you live there as opposed to moving forward because there are better days ahead. Learning from the past is just taking all the experiences you've had and applying those to your future, because you want to look ahead. You want to have brighter days ahead of you. You always want to improve. You always want to have better days. Even if you've lived a great life, even if you've had successes, great achievements, you want to keep moving forward. And if nothing else, you want to add value and make other people's lives better. And so you can leave a legacy. And the only way you can do that is to learn from your past, whether good or bad things that you've learned.
One of the things that happens, though, and we get into the argument about gambling, especially in the arena of sports and how it influences things, you know, like that 46-year-old goalie who learned that there was 8-to-1 odds that he'd eat a piece of pie while sitting on the bench. And so he ate a piece of pie, and he got investigated for that. That was in soccer a few weeks ago. But in all seriousness, the people who give the attention, whether it's March Madness or the NFL, people say, yeah, if we didn't have sports betting, there'd be so little interest in this compared to. I think people end up starting to look at this and saying, you just affected my livelihood because they chose to go out and gamble. And as a result, that will also have a magnified effect. Now, putting that into the business realm, when suddenly the shipment doesn't show up, you know, just in time inventory control, I call as NTL, not too late, you know, because they're trying to match assets and liabilities and try to get it in the door in the morning, get it used in the process in the afternoon, and ship it out in the evening, you know, that kind of tight work, so that if a truck breaks down or we get weather like we've got right now, suddenly you don't have what you need and you start blaming everybody else when you didn't leave yourself any cushion. You know what I'm talking about here? It becomes the blame game.
Oh, absolutely. We sometimes have issues with our personal responsibility. We are not responsible for things that happen. We don't hold ourselves accountable sometimes. And what we also do is we put too much stock in things we can't control as well. And we allow outside circumstances to dictate what our feelings are, what our actions are, and too oftentimes, you know, we'll, you know, woe is me, or I'm doing okay under the circumstances, as opposed to rising above the circumstances. And you know, you talk about gambling. I mean, it's just irrational to me that anybody would place money on the outcome or performance of an 18, 19, 20 year old and then get mad when an 18, 19, and 20 year old doesn't do what they wanted them to do because they put money on them. I mean anyone that's been a father or a mother knows that you can't rely on an 18, 19, or 20 year old, but yet you got, you know, millions of people putting money on them and then blaming them when they screw up. You know, like the kid last night you mentioned from Vanderbilt. You know, I don't think people need to blame those people, you know, when they screw up. The same way, you know, if a shipment doesn't come in or whatever, it becomes the blame game, and we need to take a little bit more responsibility and look at what could we do differently and how could our attitude be changed just a little bit. Can we have an altered attitude, a shift in our attitude where we're actually trying to find a solution and make things better, as opposed to going back to what we talked about earlier, dwelling on the past.
Well, we need to let you go, Coach Jamie Beckler, if nothing else, so you can get some sleep before watching some more games. But again, you can get 3 free ebooks at coachbeckler.com because he took responsibility and got the website back up. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Beckler. And until next week, Coach, try to get a little sleep, enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you then.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ollie.
Bye-bye.